opening up the phone lines for listeners' Q&A. First up, longtime listener George.
I want to ask a question, I think. If 7 years of 0% interest rate policy, Q1, QE2, Operation Twist, then QE3, which pundits originally said were emergency temporary measures, not debt monetization, failed to produce an economic expansion, and only created malinvestments and bubbles. Why would further extreme adjustments in monetary policy producing negative interest rates and outright monetization of ETFs and other instruments help growth and capital investment? This is being tested in Europe and Japan, so we will see. I just do not understand why these pseudo-Keynesians think the extension of failed monetary policies and central bank intervention that is unprecedented in history will work. Thank you very much.
Hi, George. You know, I'm sure you understand that policymakers have simply run out of gimmicks. They seem to be so desperate just to keep the global economic engine running that debt monetization and negative interest rates, it's pretty much a last resort. To keep this house of cards from imploding, negative rates forces malinvestments, pushing the money into paper assets with virtually no return or yield, and that pursuit of risky capital gains is virtually all there is. It punishes savers, and the whole idea here is based, I think, on the economic fallacy that if you plaster over the cracks in the foundation with these monetary schemes, eventually the structure will right itself. But what I think they're starting to recognize is that the whole foundation has a terminal fault. It's not just vertical, it's horizontal, and it cannot be repaired with these operations. Our industrial base, it's lost. It's not going to be rebuilt over years, maybe even decades. The middle class has been decimated. It was the backbone of society. That took generations to build. It would take generations to rebuild. And then, of course, our education system, it's failed to prepare us for today's incredibly competitive global workplace. So, unfortunately, it looks as though individuals, families, and even our municipalities locally must fend for themselves against an increasingly hostile economic environment. Now, look, okay, I know that many of my listeners are faring very well. They have good, solid, diversified portfolios, and I think that's really what you have to do here. Good, solid U.S. stock market base plus bonds plus precious metals and several other sectors takes care of the gyrations in any individual market, and over time, you'll have a steady income stream to help your retirement, and it will, for the most part, there's just no better free lunch, as they say, than diversification.
Hey, Chris. Just a little commentary on Armstrong's comment about the stock market, how it's not in a bubble because there's no retail participation. Well, did Mr. Armstrong ever consider that maybe the baby boomer generation, after having been burned twice by the stock market, most of them have migrated to the bond market, in particular bond mutual funds, hence the huge bubble in the bond market, of course, precipitated by the Federal Reserve and other central banks. This time, it really is different. Price-earnings ratios are off the charts. Most of the trades are being conducted by robo-traders, and those algos will turn a dime once they're unable to stop the inevitable collapse of stock prices. Instead of buying the dips, they'll be selling the rips, as David Stockman puts it. So anyway, Armstrong's an interesting character, but I don't think he's got this one quite right. But I think he's missing the forest for the trees. It'll be interesting to see how this all turns out. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
On to the next caller. Well, longtime listener John. He disagrees with one of our favorite guests, whose indicators are saying higher prices are likely for U.S. shares. Well, You know, hi, John. You know, I think Mr. Armstrong's body of work is very impressive, and I really agree with both of you. From a technical vantage point, stocks clearly could still break out to new highs and run for another year or two. However, I also agree with your thoughts that shares are, on a fundamental basis, overvalued. I mean, PEs are out of control, especially in the tech sector. Remember the old market axiom, though? Stocks can remain irrational longer than we can maintain our margin. So I think the best bet, again, as I mentioned with our last caller, is solid diversification. You can, if you're worried about stocks, you can either hedge that or you can decrease exposure in your diversified portfolio, increase the weighting in bonds and precious metals if you like. That, of course, is your call. I can't give out investment advice, just some thoughts. If a downtrend in shares does unfold on a monthly chart, I would consider, of course, some hedging, and you might think of that as some put insurance on the indexes. That might be another way for the professional investor to sleep a little better at night with a very, very small percentage of their portfolio. We appreciate your calls. Remember, you can call in at any time to our hotline. It's not toll-free anymore, but we'd still like to hear from you. Please jot down 1-206-6665-370 on a posted pad, or you can plug it right into your phone if you'd like. For GoldSeek, that's 1-206-6665-370. That's our hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We appreciate your calls and your comments. More GoldSeek Radio after these messages. The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.